This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
China reopens its economy. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Thanks for being with us. After more than 1,000 days, the world's most populous nation and second largest economy is open to the world again. On Sunday, China threw open its borders to foreign business travellers, students and tourists in a move seen as one of the last significant rollbacks of the country's strict zero COVID policies. For these passengers arriving at Shanghai Airport, it was pure relief.
Previously, I wanted to come back in the summer, but my flight was suspended, so I ended up not coming back. So I think it's really good that the policy has changed now. It's really humane. It's a necessary step, I think.
I'm quite happy not needing to be in quarantine. Who wants to be in quarantine? Nobody.
Tens of thousands of people gathered at border crossings between Hong Kong and the mainland too to take advantage of the latest relaxation. The BBC's Martin Yip was there as well.
Here at the Hong Kong-Zhuhai-Macau Bridge checkpoint, travellers have been streaming in since the early morning, heading for Western Guangdong Province in mainland China. This elderly man is heading for his hometown in Zhuhai. This young woman does worry about catching COVID as she's never had it before. The relaxing of quarantine rules marks the end of China's zero COVID policy, but not the end of all restrictions. As the country braces itself for yet another big wave of infections ahead of the Lunar New Year holiday.
Well, if you're a regular listener with us here, you might have heard from Matt Lawrence before. He's a British businessman who runs language schools across China. And he told us of his hopes now restrictions have been rolled back.
When we come back from the UK to China, we don't have to quarantine. That's something that we were quite worried about in the past because we have an 11-month-old baby. I think quarantining in a government facility with a small child would be not very pleasant. I mean, in the past, our business relied on hiring teachers from abroad. So I think if our business survives long term, that would be a good thing for us. We'd probably be able to get teachers come and work for us from overseas. You know, the last 3 years, there's been a gradual exodus of foreigners from China. I think long term, for me, as someone that's committed to staying in China for a long time, I really hope that these restrictions will help to bring some of those foreigners back.
So that's where we are. And we will, in a moment, look ahead to what all this means now for China's economy. But first, we thought it might be important to remind you why the government changed course. The BBC's Katie Barnfield has that.
Repeated lockdowns took a major toll on the economy and on the patience of Chinese citizens. In April this year, Shanghai residents began screaming from apartment windows after weeks trapped inside. In November, violent protests broke out at the world's largest iPhone assembly plant, a Foxconn factory in Zhengzhou, following lockdowns there after an outbreak. Demonstrations in other areas soon followed, including in major cities like Shanghai and Beijing, with some protesters openly calling for the resignation of President Xi Jinping, the biggest public display of dissent in generations. Under pressure, the Chinese government began to unwind restrictions in early December, and then confirmation borders would reopen, spelling the end of zero COVID.
Well, let's see what investors have made of all this as we check the numbers now. Pretty positive on the whole. Stocks across Asia all up on Monday. The Shanghai Composite Index up just shy of 1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up more than 1.75%. Despite that, though, there are still concerns. COVID cases are spiking in the country, where vaccination rates remain low. And with millions of people about to head on the move across the country for the Lunar New Year, there are fears that that spike could intensify. Mi Feng of China's National Health Commission says the easing of restrictions doesn't mean the government is relaxing its approach to the virus.
Starting from today, we categorize and manage COVID as a Class B infectious disease. Our focus has pivoted from preventing infection to protecting health and preventing severe cases. Downgrading COVID doesn't mean letting it rip. Rather, we are more scientific, targeted, and efficient in our response. We can do better in coordinating pandemic response and socio-economic development.
Countries around the world, though, are cautious, with many imposing restrictions and COVID testing on Chinese arrivals. Neighbour South Korea, for example, have some of the toughest, including compulsory PCR tests at the airport conducted by the army. But former government official Victor Gao thinks the country has no option but to press ahead.
Whether you think this is the best time or not, the decision has been made. And China is going through this wall of fire, and hopefully we will emerge on the other side of the fire more or less unscathed, even though we are experiencing huge number of infections and high number of deaths.
So, what is the outlook for the economy now? I asked Iris Pang, Chief Greater China Economist at the bank ING in Hong Kong.
We are seeing catering coming back. We also see that metro passenger volume going up. Therefore, people are really increasing their mobility. But we are still concerned the speed of recovery. We believe that the first quarter will be slowly picking up and then more solid in the third quarter and fourth quarter and even going back to the pre-pandemic level.
Before we look too far ahead, can you just put listeners back in the picture, Iris, too, of the state of where the economy's got to now? Because these lockdowns have had a pretty detrimental effect on a wide range of kind of economic indicators, haven't they?
Yes. In fact, the most damaging of the lockdowns have been on retail sales, and retail sales was in a negative year-on-year growth. So it means that contraction on a yearly basis before the release of the lockdown measures. So in December, which is in between of lockdown and release of the measures, we believe that it will be still slight contraction, but will be turning to positive growth in January.
In terms of big industries, Iris, things that have been snarled up for a long time, manufacturing, technology manufacturing in particular, does what happened on Sunday spark any better news for those kind of sectors?
We expect that there will be no more logistic aspects, supply chain constraint or disruption because there will be no lockdowns anymore. But we believe that there is another worry coming out from the world, which is US and Europe going into mild recession, which hurts China export orders and therefore manufacturing. This is not logistic disruption. This is just weak demand from the West.
Weak demand, one concern, as you say. The other, the spectre perhaps that the virus spreads very rapidly. We know that vaccine drives have been being pushed forward. But what other mitigations could the government be doing to try and, I guess, stymie that wave of new COVID infections that could, of course, hit this reopening?
So the government is going to hand out more preferential policies for home buyers and also car buyers. On healthcare side, the government is also providing more oxygen equipment for home use as well as for hospital use. So hopefully this will ease the crowdiness at the hospital.
And a final thought, Iris, because you've watched these things for a long time, where would you say your confidence is in the Chinese economy now?
For the first half of the year, I will say I will cautiously optimistic. But for the second half of the year, I am pretty optimistic.
A good place to be. Iris Pang, Chief Greater China Economist at ING. Thanks very much for speaking to us.
Thank you, Will.
Remember, if you'd like to listen back, this programme will be available as a podcast, as it is every day. Just search for Marketplace Morning Report, wherever you get yours from. Thanks so much for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.